Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout his ministry, many people sought Jesus for many different things. Some wanted healing for themselves or family members. Some wanted theological insight. Others wanted to trap him and make him look like a fool. The gospel reading today stands apart as unique and strange. Jesus is not sought after for his healing touch or wisdom, but as a referee or a parental figure who needs to babysit these brothers and resolve their squabble. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. As you can hear, Jesus is not simply being asked or requested to do this. He is commanded, teacher, tell my brother. The situation seems ridiculous. Perhaps the adult version of two toddlers fighting for a prized toy. But Jesus' answer displays it as anything but comical. It is a matter of eternal life. The first part of Jesus' answer is a question directly addressed to the brother who spoke to him. Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And with this question, Jesus is challenging the brother to think about how he understands Jesus. This is much like the scenario later in the Gospel of Luke when a rich ruler says, good teacher. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Jesus wants both of these men to understand the truth of their words. Yes, Jesus can be called the good teacher, for he is God and God is good. And in the same way, Jesus can rightly be called a judge and arbitrator over these men. But it is not for the sake of dispensing an earthly inheritance. What an irony that this brother comes to Jesus and asks him to be a judge and divider over an earthly inheritance when the judge of the world and the divider of the sheep and goats stands before him with the message of eternal inheritance on his lips. Jesus then says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. This is Jesus' warning for you this morning. Do not demand that Jesus increase your wealth. Do not demand that you may live an easy, comfortable life. Do not demand that Jesus give you the finest food, drink, clothing, house. You may certainly ask and pray for these things from Jesus, but don't be so fixed on them that if you don't get these things, you turn to Christ in anger and command him what to do. Indeed, many Christians have these things, but they are earthly blessings from God. And that does not mean they are more favored by God or better Christians than everyone else. Jesus does not want you to play the comparison game when it comes to earthly goods. That misses the point. When you are newly born in baptism, ushered into God's favor and forgiveness, your eyes are lifted up beyond this world and fixed on the joy of eternal life. In baptism, your life and thoughts take on a bigger dimension as you realize that your earthly life is but a blip, a dot, when compared with joy of with God in heaven. And not only is your eternal life longer than your earthly one, it is so much better beyond all comparison, where the dwelling place of God is with man. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. In short, a Christian's outlook is not so small that this world is all that matters. You were born anew in baptism so that you may look forward with joy. But say just for a moment that you struggle with looking ahead to something you have not yet experienced. Maybe you doubt that things could possibly get better than this great, wonderful world. Sure, there are some issues, but overall it's pretty good. Our Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes has something for you to consider. Solomon, the richest king of Israel, who had everything at his fingertips, says, "I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind." This is the stark reality that any honest person knows. Get as rich as you can. Acquire the nicest things you can. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But none of this will follow you into the grave. There is more to life than the abundance of possessions. This warning is made clear in the parable of the rich fool. There was a rich man. The rich man had a great harvest, and now the rich man was even richer. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." The phrase "thought to himself" in the Greek more accurately means to consider a reason within oneself. There is some truth in depicting madmen or crazy people as talking to themselves. It is not the fact that they are speaking out loud to themselves that is strange. It is that they look to themselves as their moral compass, their authority in life. In other words, their God. This is what the rich man does throughout the rest of the parable. It is a monologue that expresses his outlook on life. His problem: too many crops and not enough room to store them. His solution: tear down his barns and build larger ones. His takeaway: relax, eat, drink, be merry. This is why God calls him a fool, because he did not believe that life was more than riches, because he believed life was all about riches, because he did not, as our epistle reading says today, set his mind on the things of God. Isn't this your mindset at times too? It is much easier to get out of bed on a Sunday morning for enjoyable hobbies or leisure time than for church to come and sit at Jesus' feet. There is so much more of the weekend to enjoy if the Sabbath day is scrapped. Or after a day at work, why not relax with TV and food while family devotions and interaction fall by the wayside? Putting in extra time at work for a pay raise or new possession takes priority over prayer and reading the Bible. Home comfort, job security, surely these are what make life good, rather than taking to heart the Bible's instruction, which seems to get no results anyway. My own hard work, now that gets results. That gives me security. I can trust in that. And like the rich fool, there are times you would rather trust yourself and not God. Don't you have the mindset that you would rather pull yourself up from your own bootstraps rather than acknowledge that your blessings and success come from the Lord? Didn't your plans for life get you in a good position? Why trust in God that may send hardship when I can always seek after pleasure in life? Don't you think that you know better than God? This isolation from God, this is not what you were created for. You were made to receive from him every good and perfect gift, to have his love bestowed on you, and to reflect him in whose image you were made. This is how God created you to exist. And it is no wonder that when we selfishly thwart this design, no good comes of it. Heaven is, after all, the eternal place where believers live in God's presence forever. If you are like the rich fool and reject God's word and presence in your life, he will ultimately give you up to your desire to not be in his presence and to be eternally separated from his presence in hell. Jesus says earlier in Luke, "Whoever does not gather with me scatters." It is ironic that as the rich man gathers his possessions, he is really scattering, throwing God and his offer of eternal life and forgiveness to the side. Even as he stores his crops, he neglects the harvest of faith, that is, good works. He who says to his soul, "Eat, drink," forgets the truth of what Jesus says right after this parable. Life is more than food. The rich fool is more concerned about the goods that are laid up for him in his barn, and not the God-man who is laid in a manger and laid in a linen shroud in death. Does the rich man know that he cannot tell his body to truly relax? Only the one who says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," can do so. The rich man wants to eat and drink, but not of the body and blood of our Lord that gives us rest, of forgiveness and merriness of salvation. The rich man wants to be merry over the God-given gifts of food and drink, and not the God who gives these things and gives even better things, like peace with God, forgiveness of sins, life everlasting. From the gospel reading and what has been said, you might get the impression that it is wrong to relax, eat, drink, or be merry. Again, the Greek is very helpful in showing us God's intention. The words for "to relax" and "be merry" are put together in such a way that it expresses continual action. In other words, the rich fool thinks that it is good to always kick back and enjoy life and his possessions and never consider God. Go ahead, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But do this with the understanding that your possessions are not your own doing, but gifts and blessings from God. After all, remember what the Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes says. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? But most importantly, relax, eat, drink, be merry over the eternal possessions of Christ's perfection, God's forgiveness, love, and peace, of the faith he has given to you, of life that is yours now and forever. Jesus says, "One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions," and that the rich fool was not being rich toward God. The question for you now becomes, what does one's life consist in, and how is one rich toward God? Paul answers the first question in our epistle reading for today. "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Your life is Christ. Your life consists of Christ. This means not only that you receive his perfection and righteousness, but that you are to act in a manner of one who is marked with Christ in baptism. Listening to St. Paul, we should flee the vices that he lists in our epistle. We should strive after doing good works. Pray when you fail to do good works and seek his forgiveness. Love one another. Care for all. And most importantly, know that your eternal life is secure, even now, because of Jesus Christ. Jesus does not answer the second question, how to be rich toward God, in the gospel reading for today. Jesus will teach you that next week, since his parable today and his teaching next Sunday go hand in hand. So it is important that you be here next Sunday to sit at your Lord's feet and listen how you become rich toward God. But as we close, remember your life is the kingdom of God. It is the eternal life that is certainly yours even now, dear baptized believers of Zion. This treasure does not fail, because the perfect man, Christ, came down out of love to save you. He left behind his inheritance with God to take up the sins of the world. He swapped your inherited sinfulness and all your sins with his inheritance in the heaven when he suffered in your place on the cross. So it all comes full circle. The brother at the beginning of the reading asks Jesus about the just distribution of an earthly inheritance. But Jesus points him to the merciful distribution of the heavenly inheritance, of the kingdom of God, of the unfailing treasure that is yours right now and definitely forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.